Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters, love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back here. It is 8:23. It's always good to have new voices and meet some new people. Representative Kara Pavlak-D'Amato joining us here in studio. 77th District, is that right? I can get you one, but you're good for now.
Yes, 77th, which represents part of Bristol.
And, you know, I was looking at, so you got your law degree, did you get, and then you got another master's in law, like, so you have a JD and a master's?
Yes.
Why do you do that? What's the reason for doing that?
It's a specialty for tax, which I don't even practice tax now, but I intended to at the time. I love tax. It's an enjoyable subject for me.
And so, and you have your own firm?
Yes.
And how did you, why did you want to get into politics? Talk about, before we get into the issue of like the jacket and stuff, I think people, you know, they might have seen the newspaper or whatever, but they don't know. So I want to just get to know you a little bit. Like, how did you get involved in, it's been about a decade now that you've been doing this. How did that happen?
Correct. I think for me, it's politics is something that's always been in my blood, I guess. My dad was a councilman in Terryville. He was actually ran as a Democrat in a Republican town. So I ran for school president when I was in high school and things like that that were similar. And I think I tried to deny it for as long as I could. And eventually I'm like, okay, I need to run for something. I want to run for something. And so I did run down in Broward County, Florida in 2012 and got slaughtered. But I learned a lot. I learned what not to do.
And then you guys moved up here?
Correct. Yep. I moved up here, back where I'm from originally.
And do you have broader ambitions, or balancing family and your law firm and this is enough? Or would you want to move to the Senate or run for broader office?
I think if the right opportunity came up, I would definitely do it. But I have a 7-year-old right now, so I think those opportunities for me are limited. I don't think I could take off to Washington, D.C., for example. I want to put more time into my son, and he takes up a lot of time with his sports. So, but eventually it's possible.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, 7 is a great age. I get all teenagers now. It's a mess. So can you stick around till through 8? Could the 8:40 block? Because I want to spend a little more time with you. Okay, so last Wednesday of the opening of the session, I guess you've done this before, like you've worn MAGA stuff in the chamber.
Correct.
So just tell people what happened on Wednesday.
Well, Wednesday I had nobody necessarily told me. I just knew that the governor in his speech was going to bring up something that had to do with ICE. It's such a huge topic and people are bringing it up. And of course, it's an election year. So I know the Democrats need something to run on. And so I've worn something similar in the past. I had a MAGA jacket. In the past, it's facing the back. Not that it really matters to me. I had a MAGA dress on the front. And I just thought this time, because my feelings are so strong about that topic, that and the liberals just dominate the media in Connecticut, that I wanted to make sure that our voice was heard as well.
And so when did you do it? You wanted the attention, correct?
Well, I wanted to, number one, I do want to let Republicans know that somebody is sticking up for them. We're not just sitting there letting all the Democrats run us over. That's not the case at all. We're fighting, and we fight every day really hard in the legislature. But also just to bring awareness to the topic, because I feel that Democrats get to paint us as anti-immigrant, and that's not the case.
Okay, before delving into an issue like that, let's continue with the progression. You know, when did you, because you've done with the MAGA stuff, you might have had a little bit of eye roll or pushback, but it was never like a bigger issue, right? When did you know this had, I guess, angered Speaker Ritter the way it seemed to have?
Well, during his speech, I hadn't heard the press conference and the statements put out earlier in the day.
And are we jumping to Thursday now? Yeah.
Yeah, on Thursday. But somebody had come up to me in the chamber and said, I'm getting some pushback. Can you take off the jacket? And I refused.
And when did you? Okay, so they go to Thursday when you guys convene, and he gives this lecture. He really did say tomfoolery. Did he really say that word?
Yes.
Just such an old school word. And again, like I take no side on this. I'm just sort of fascinated. Did you think it was appropriate, his response, when he basically said, you can do that outside the chamber, but not inside the chamber?
I was fine with his response. I respect Speaker Ritter. I respect the chamber. But I also respectfully disagree that the governor gets the bully pulpit and we have to sit there silent. That, to me, was not good enough. And in addition to the fact that other legislators had ice out pins on, that didn't seem to be a big deal either. But he was talking to all of us, so it's fine. But it wasn't like it was the first time that I had worn something with a message on it. So, and we can't bring props, and I always respect that. I don't bring any props or signs or anything like that. So that's what I decided to do, and our joint rules do not prohibit it, and I stand by my actions.
You know, it's funny because I see both sides. I don't know if his reaction is appropriate. I thought he was a little condescending, actually. But I think that on the one side, you know, maybe it is stuntish, but I also think free speech is free speech. So I see both sides, but ultimately, if I'm going to be consistent, I'm more on the side of free speech. So that's one of the things I think is important to point out here. We have to pause just for a few minutes here to pay the bills. We'll continue here with Representative Kara Pavlock-D'Amato from the 77th District. We'll talk a little bit more about why you picked ICE as a topic and why it's important to you, and also this issue that I talk with Harding and Vinny all the time about. You know, and again, I'm not a Republican, but I think it's important to get more competitive government, how to do that in Connecticut moving forward. So do we continue here with State Rep Kara Pavlock-D'Amato, who made a lot of news last week with her jacket ice in. So you have a special tailor? I mean, did you sew it yourself?
Somebody who helps me, yes.
because that takes a little bit of effort, obviously. I wanted to ask you, because I was actually, it's funny, a lot of people say, oh, I knew Lamont was going to say this or that. I was a little surprised, because I feel like even though there's been some tension, especially the Revolution Wind, and there's been some ice activity, but generally speaking, for a blue state, Connecticut has stayed away from the president's crossairs. Like not like New York, Massachusetts have had much more direct issues with the White House. And so I was a little surprised. But why is the ICE issue so important to Kara Pavlock-D'Amato? Well,
so a lot of people don't know this, but my first husband was actually from Venezuela. So we got married in 2007, did it legally. I was living in Aruba at the time, so we met down there. And he came over on a fiancé visa. Stayed here. We got married and you can't stay here. And that's a mistake a lot of people make. They overstay their visa. So after the 3 months, fiance visa was done, he went back and waited. I put in the application, took about almost a year, and then eventually he came back. So for me, an illegal alien is jumping the line. While the rest of us do it right, I had to wait almost a year to be with my own husband. But that's the process. And so anybody coming here illegally, that's why I don't have a problem. They're breaking the law. They're jumping the line for all the people who really sacrifice a lot to be here. And there's a reason for the whole process. They, number one, safety, right? They check for criminal backgrounds. But they also want to make sure that the person financially can be supported. You have to have a sponsor. And a lot of these people don't have a financial sponsor. Look, every liberal could take an illegal alien and sponsor them. There's also employment sponsors. I could do that too, but they don't. They'd rather just sit there and be hypocrites.
Well, I guess my issue, and we don't have to get too much in the weeds here, is that there's just a lot of examples over the last few months of people who are good citizens in good standing for like years with jobs paying taxes who are being treated like as if they're a threat physically with these apprehensions. So that makes me uncomfortable. Like, I believe if you're here illegally or you're undocumented, you got to go through the process. And if it doesn't work out for you, then you got to go. But some of the stuff makes me uncomfortable.
But again, if you come here legally, you get a green card. You don't have to be a citizen. You could be here for the rest of your life on a green card.
Okay.
And you're paying taxes and you have a job or even don't have a job. That's fine. But again, a lot of people overstay their visa. And they
right, but that doesn't mean they should get thrown to the ground and cuffed and stuffed. They can be told they have X hearing or X amount of time to go, and then we don't have to get into it. We don't see it quite the same way. Mm-hmm. But I think that if you are here illegally, you need to go through the process or leave. If you're a criminal, you should be deported. But I think that there's a lot of other stuff. The statistics don't match up in terms of the number of apprehensions compared to the number of apprehensions of people with convicted of charged of crimes.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Anyway, I want to move on to other things. The Republican Party, you know, I have really good conversations with, you know, we had talked with leadership last week. I was live at the Capitol on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And had a good conversation with Van Candelora, the minority leader in the House, and Stephen Harding, the minority leader in the Senate. And one of the things we talk about is just getting more competitive government, right? And so what do you think, Republican-wise, in the state, your party needs to do to get more representation?
You know, I think we need to be energized, first of all. You know, the turnout in non-presidential years is always lower. And for me, the state races, and then after that, the local, are the most important. State laws affect Connecticut residents the most. And yet a lot of people sit home because they don't realize that. They think the federal affects them the most, and that's just not the case. So,
but there are fewer Republicans. You started 10 years ago in 2017. Obviously, 14. The 2017 budget deal is really what created the fiscal environment we have now. And wouldn't have happened if Republicans didn't have that strength. And I think that most conventional wisdom is that Trump's impact on Connecticut has diluted Republican strength. How do you get some of that back? Because representation, that's 8 years ago, 9 years ago, there was enough to move the needle.
Yeah. Well, it's, again, finding good candidates. It's doing the work. I think a lot of candidates don't. They think they know best, new candidates, and they don't put the work in. They don't do the doors. And working together. I mean, yes, getting a message out there, but it's also about execution. And it's about doing smart campaigning. And so many people don't.
You got your committee work. It's a short session. Any bills or endeavors that you're going to embark on? Anything that you want people to know about that you're working on?
I mean, I have a couple small bills in which I know, especially at this point, won't get passed.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to really bother. But I'm the ranking member on insurance and real estate. I'm also on judiciary. I'm also on appropriations. And appropriations, of course, always has – this is our fixed year. So we'll have a lot to do. And by the way, policy is always put through. I remember when I was the only Republican to vote against tampons in boys' bathroom. So I'm waiting for stuff like that to come through again. I'm happy to vote against it. But in insurance, we're always pushing for association health plans, ways to reduce premiums and make health care cheaper. A lot of the Democrats up there always fight it. Don't know why. Because now we have group homes that are not going to be able to afford their insurance and take people in. And it's unfortunate.
How's your balance, you know, between a parent and your law practice? I'm always sort of fascinated by people who are families and they practice and they do this. It's a little less work in this session than the previous one, but is that difficult?
It's very hard. Especially I bring my son to everything. I bring him to school, pick him up from school and all his sports, in addition to my law firm. And it's hard. I have to say, in the last couple of weeks of session, usually part of my life completely falls apart. And so I'm just trying to scramble right after, but it's a lot of time management. So I don't sleep a lot.
Well, it's impressive. I tell all of our public servants it's really impressive. I want to thank you for giving your perspective. I really think it's important. Representative Kara Pavlock-D'Amato, who represents the 77th District, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories. the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.